We're perusing the Milwaukee Anthology on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a new collection of nonfiction essays and poems that together create this patchwork of life and times in Milwaukee. And the writing is sourced from people who come from all walks of life in their city. Milwaukee Anthology joins a group of more than a dozen cities in a series by the Cleveland-based indie press called Belt Publishing. What do you think is the best or most interesting thing about your city? What stories don't get enough attention about Milwaukee? Join in at 800-642-1234. Justin Kern is editor of the Milwaukee Anthology, which comes out today. Justin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate, and for sharing more about the book with your audience.
So Milwaukee is your oyster here. When you were considering pieces for the anthology, what were you looking for?
I think part of the purpose of what Belt is looking for with these city anthologies is kind of these lesser heard, maybe necessary stories about the Midwest. There's a lot of head scratching about the Midwest from people outside of the Midwest after some recent elections and other things. So I think they were looking to kind of change the paradigm. And for me, that kind of meant taking our city beyond, you know, motorcycles, cheese curds, the bronze fawns. You know, all those things are great. They have like a place, of course, in our city. But sharing the actual kind of diversity, the challenges, the kind of more day-to-day triumphs of Milwaukee.
I heard those echoes of challenges and in the diversity. I mean, when you sought people out and really put the call out for writing, you really wanted to hear from different groups, different people from different perspectives.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of that, the kind of the Roxane Gay quote about like that the Midwest is, you know, obviously a very diverse place. It's just a place that certainly in Milwaukee's instance has a lot of challenges when it comes to segregation or having those diverse voices heard, right? Like everybody in Milwaukee isn't an unemployed white drywaller, you know? I mean, like, that exists here. I drank with some of those guys at the Newport down in Milwaukee sometimes, but it's a diverse, rich place with many voices. And that was kind of one of the driving points behind getting a lot of voices, opening up to as many voices as possible for this book.
Well, let's get into the pieces. Let's look at this piece about Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood, which is known most recently for the riots that happened in the summer of 2016. And that was after Sylville Smith was shot and killed by a policeman. The essay is about a community mural in Sherman Park and how it's impacted the residents there. Can you tell us about this mural?
Sure, yeah. It's a really fantastic piece that Tia pulled together.
Tia Richardson.
Tia Richardson, mm-hmm. Right, the author and kind of community organizer around this mural. And she explains it really well in the piece as this kind of, she thought it was going to be this rallying cry to paint something for the neighborhood. Then the you know, kind of unrest happened. The incident, obviously the fatal incident with Sylville happened. And then it became this entirely different, almost conversation piece where people were kind of challenging what it means to live in that neighborhood and looking for something that was, and I hope, you know, this is something I think you might see a little thread of throughout the book that although there are some challenges, there is a lot to love, and there are some amazing neighbors and initiatives going on all around us. So I think Tia pulls that together, and I'd encourage everyone to go check out the mural. It'd be a great opportunity if you haven't been to Sherman Park to see it much more beyond the headlines from a few years ago.
And it seems that Tia is trying to get out that Sherman Park is this beautiful community that people pull together in this community, and that is what is really speaking to this mural and what it's trying to convey.
Right, and there's even Laura Richard Marshall earlier in the book has an essay about kind of being a homeowner and some of what that's fraught with in Sherman Park at times. And I think, there are a number of neighborhoods where in our city where I guess one of the challenges in Milwaukee in my thinking and what I've seen and what I read in the book certainly is that the city makes it too easy for us to be divided and broken up. Essays like Tia's and others in the book kind of challenge that and push people to not only get to know their own neighbors next door, but, you know, a few neighborhoods over even.
We're talking with Justin Kern, editor of the Milwaukee Anthology. Dozens of writers contributed pieces of poetry and prose about their city. It's all in this new anthology, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you know any books, essays, or poems about Milwaukee that you'd like to share? Do you write about your own city or town? What inspires your works? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Justin, Pardeep Kalipa writes an essay for the anthology about the 2012 Sikh temple shooting. Six people were killed, including Pardeep's father, who was the president of the temple. What does this essay tell us about that day, about that time?
Oh, that was, even in the request, which, I mean, Pardeep did an absolutely amazing and, like, humbling job in recounting that day and kind of moving forward with the temple, but that was, from the editor's perspective and even from the pitch to him, was hard to work through because it's tragic. I mean, it's hard. It's impossible to process. And I think that's some of what he conveys in the story. But that was an important one to put out there, I thought, because of, you know, I think that that instance was maybe easy if you didn't know people from the Sikh community, if you had no friends there, it might have been easier for people on the outside to really box up that incident as an isolated thing. And I think what Pardeep gets at there is that there are deeper community values and opportunities that he has kind of taken from that tragedy, as hard as it is. And he does a really amazing job kind of recounting the day ahead, the day before the last time he saw his father, as well as the incident, and then kind of moving how the temple has kind of tried to move forward.
Well, in the last day he saw his father, he's recounting this family gathering, and the men are gathered around. They're having some drinks. They're talking about being small business owners. Yep. And there's a real sense of strength in a family, of communities, of support. And then you find that there's this unraveling as the shooting happens at the temple, and Pardeep is so confused as to how to even get to the temple because the police have, you know, coordinated all off.
Yeah, a thing no one could ever plan for or know. I mean, and you're so that's set up where he's kind of like. I think everyone in Wisconsin, regardless of your background, what Pardeep kind of shows in the beginning of that is like most everyone, I think, in Wisconsin, regardless of your background, has had that experience where you're at a family. It's Pardeep's birthday party in the case of this book, and people are split up where there's folks downstairs drinking a couple of whiskeys and talk about business and whatnot, and then some other people are cooking and the kids are running around. I mean, it's this very typical family gathering experience that really defies the, you know, whatever labels, whatever religion or creed that you'd want to put on people. And in that same sense, then, you know, just days later, they're faced with the absolutely unimaginable circumstance of a mass shooting.
We're exploring the Milwaukee Anthology with its editor, Justin Kern, and you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Milwaukeeans, what do you think is the best or most interesting thing about your city? What stories don't get enough play, enough attention about Milwaukee? Do you write poetry or essays about your own city or town or community? What are they like? Can you share them with us? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back in a minute right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the new Milwaukee Anthology, part of the City Series from Belt Publishing. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. More than 50 writers submitted their nonfiction works, essays, prose, poetry. It's all inspired by life in Milwaukee. And you can join in with ideas for place-based writing at 800-642-1234. Do you know any books, essays, or poems about Milwaukee that you'd like to share? You can call in, email ideas@wpr.org. Justin Kern is editor of the Milwaukee Anthology that's out today, and he stays with us. Justin, I want to go back in time now and talk about this fascinating piece of labor history, the 1886 Bayview Massacre. And it's been noted as Wisconsin's bloodiest labor incident. Can you tell us first about what happened on May 5th, 1886, and the events that led up to it?
Ken is the historian, and he writes the piece in the book. So he, you know, he gives the detailed account. But as I live up the street from this monument, so have the chance to walk by it a few times and see the event, actually. But the rolling mill that was down there, the main employer in the city, as happened a lot in the late 1800s, there was kind of a riot between the private guards of the industry and then the organizing forces of labor, and was a fatal afternoon. And now every May, the a bunch of labor organizations get together and kind of commemorate this this incident that happened that was among the most bloody in labor history in the United States.
Well, Ken Germanson writes about this being about the 8-hour workday and trying to set rights for workers. How has that informed this gathering each year on that massacre day?
Yeah, he had this really great kind of conflicted view of it, right? Like recent Wisconsin labor history, there obviously been some, you know, the protests and stuff around collective bargaining in Madison, and the kind of decline in union membership, but at the same time that this event is this rallying force for all types of organized labor. So and it's this very visual, cool event too. There are these giant puppets and these kind of like wispy folk songs that actually the Ghosts of Bayview, where the title comes from, is from kind of an old labor rallying song. So it's this cool kind of galvanizing moment that I think a lot of people might not stop and know is even kind of happening every year in spring, just a few weeks from now.
Yeah, and it's like you can see, and he writes about this, that solidarity is still alive, that for some reason, people, hundreds of people still turn out.
Yeah, and I think, and he mentions kind of the strength of unions at one point in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, and certainly there is still some strength there, but he gets to tap on those aspects of Milwaukee's socialist history and what that kind of meant. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to make sure with this book was that it wasn't this kind of political one side versus the other bashing kind of thing. But Ken does an amazing job in this sense of tying in some history with some with aspects of the present day and what's really relevant on people's minds when it comes to labor and when it comes to Milwaukee.
And an event emceed by Anita Zeidler, which she is a retiree of UW-Milwaukee, but her late father, Frank, was the socialist mayor of Milwaukee from 1948 to 1960.
Yeah, last name that would be familiar to anyone looking around some of the parks and some of the history books in our city.
Well, let's move on to April being National Poetry Month. Can you tell us about Everything Bruce Lee at 7 Mile Fair in Orange by Robert Earl Thomas?
Yeah, Robert, lucky enough to call Robert a friend too, and he's just a great poet and great musician in our city. And it was one of the pieces that I had reached out to someone and asked about. I knew that Robert had this kind of experience growing up with his family being vendors at 7 Mile Fair. And if I could, just as an aside, like, to me, 7 Mile Fair is the best of everything about Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I know it may seem like tacky or cheesy or that kind of thing, but it is without question the one place every type of person from Milwaukee and Wisconsin hangs out, which I think is super important. And they also have like great corn and a bar, and like you can see like cool music of the Andes and buy like some knockoff shoes. It's like a perfect it's a perfect place, and everybody goes there. So anyway, so Robert does this amazing job of kind of tying in, and it might sound a little silly, but it really is ridiculously amazing. He does this great job of tying in kind of like his own coming to being as a man from his youth to kind of the present day through the lens of this flea market. And it's just this like provocative and really funny and detailed piece that highlights, you know, just kind of how brilliant of a poet he is, of course, but just all of the really vivid, fun, human elements of 7 Mile Fair.
Could you read a little bit for us? Give us a taste?
Sure. With apologies to Robert, this, you know, an excerpt that y'all had requested. So here's just a short snippet from Robert's poem on 7 Mile Fair in the Milwaukee Anthology. Parrots, chickens, puppies, carne asada, necklaces, speakers, solvents, tires, fields of socks, fruits, vegetables, massages, Quranic visions, Quranic advisors, reading glasses as anti-fogging agent wipes. If it were winter for a while in Milwaukee, a Conomilwaukee Shaw, let tomorrow be the day that we get away with murder, or at the very least, try to sell overpriced Lenny Dykstra and Greg Jeffries baseball cards.
If that isn't a mashup of so many different things, that is beautiful. Thank you for that.
Thank Robert. Yeah, it's that is one of the views. I mean, when I was said earlier, kind of the lesser heard, the necessary stories. Obviously, there are some urgent and challenging aspects of our city, but there are also so many aspects of joy and wonder, I think, that we can still find all around us. And if you find it at a flea market, more power to you.
Justin Kern, you're not actually from Milwaukee originally.
Exposed, yes.
Why are you so drawn to the city?
I outside of a few unfortunate years in my early life in Dallas, I mostly grew up in Western New York.
Dallas, no less.
I know. The opposite of like everything. And we can get into why Dallas is Dallas. But So I grew up in Western New York in a small kind of hardscrabble town called Dunkirk, named for the one in France, but with far fewer miracles. Very much like Wisconsin Rapids for kind of local reference. And then I went to college and spent a bunch of years in Buffalo, which is also in its own right an amazing Great Lakes city. But came out here as a journalist in 2005. Milwaukee really won me over. It has a lot of aspects that I love about Buffalo. But it has its own character, its own challenges, its own like kind of chip on its shoulder. And there was something about while, you know, yes, maybe an outsider, interloper to some, I think I being from outside has afforded me a little bit of a viewpoint of seeing the city differently and maybe not having kind of neighborhood, my feet cemented in a neighborhood or that kind of thing. It would kind of force when you're from outside somewhere, especially moving to a city where, frankly, not a lot of people outside of Wisconsin move to, you are kind of forced to find out a place on your own.
You have fresh eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, I think as opposed to somewhere like Chicago, where everyone's actually from Iowa and tries to say they're just from Chicago or Chicagoland, like Milwaukee, if you come to Milwaukee, like they make you earn your time here. And because of that, I feel it's been much more valuable. And you know, in the meantime, I've been able to meet my wonderful wife, who's from outside of here, and, you know, live in Bayview, where we've raised three beautiful young cats. And
let's have you read the book's epigraph and as an ending here. Can you read the quote, the one that starts out the book?
Sure. The truth begins with us. Instead of passing each other like ships in the night, we must fight until our truths stretch to the ends of the world. And that's by Sandra Parks.
And Sandra Parks, who, for those who aren't familiar, she's this young girl in Milwaukee who wrote an essay about gun violence and was killed in her home in Milwaukee by a stray bullet.
This happened as I was kind of finishing the manuscript, actually, and it really spoke to me. I mean, it's really tragic, obviously. There's no way to get around that part of it, but I think what's important to take away, as well as her memory, is that this doesn't define who this young person was. This young person was an amazing writer. And there are too many young people in the city that maybe get defined by these violent acts or by by something terrible when really we should be propping young people up as much as possible, because they're going to be leading the city not too long from now.
And the truth begins with us. Why did you find that so fitting as you chose that quote for this anthology?
Yeah, you know, this book, there was no thematic goal with the book. You know, I wanted it to be kind of a patchwork thing. I wanted it to seem almost a little eclectic. But there's something in what Sandra wrote that I think does touch on what it means to live here, and a thing that we should all consider when it comes to Milwaukee, which is to get to know each other, to not be stuck in our neighborhoods, to not be stuck in our homes, to not be afraid of each other, but to explore and to find out more about each other and love each other.
Justin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Justin Kern is editor of the Milwaukee Anthology, which comes out today. Coming up, farmers across the state and nation are gathering to discuss solutions to the financial strains on the dairy industry. We'll discuss those strategies after this news update right here on the Ideas Network.